close that door, please. Good morning, everyone. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. We're starting. Thank you. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. To look at your smiling faces. Well, some of them are smiling anyway. But you know what, folks? In spite of all what you or I may be going through, the Lord is always good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to read to you a few words of scripture to encourage you this morning. And it comes from Psalms 32. Now, if you have your Bible, you can read along with me. Or if you don't, just listen. Listen for God's word this morning. Psalms 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sins the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. And when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped, and as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sins. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You know, I told you that, I read that to you this morning to encourage you, to let you know that if you are one who are blessed, I asked someone a question this morning. I said, how's your soul condition? How is things between you and Jesus, basically? And they told me it was great. If you are one who has your sins forgiven, indeed, you are truly and truly blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to worship. We give thanks to you, Lord, that you brought us together for community worship one more time. You enable us, Lord, to look toward you for our help and strength. Because, Lord, that's where it all comes from. You are all that we have, and you are all that we need. Bless this service, Lord. Help our focus to be on you. May hearts be changed, lives be changed, and our attitudes be changed even today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now at this time, during our passing of the peace, if you would just wave to each other and just kind of say, hello, how are you? Acknowledge each other. You know, we got so many people that are out sick. So, you know, amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to see y'all. Amen. Amen. All right. Are you fixing to leave now?
Okay, down there. Enjoy it. It works.
Thank you.
morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jafon, come on up. And while we're waiting on Jafon, I'm just going to say, with all the homebound and just members who just can't be here right now, we miss you. And I'm thinking especially of Homer, who I normally see standing over there by, or sitting over there by that wall. We miss that space being filled right there.
All right,
come on up.
Morning,
Church. Morning. Philippians 4:4-7, final exhortation. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get into birthdays. All right, so for this week, today, it's Donna Walker's birthday. And on February 1st, we have Marty Fowler. And I'm sure there's other birthdays that we don't know of on here, but we're going to sing Happy Birthday. Song, let you know on Monday, January 29th, which is tomorrow already. Can you believe that? At 5:30, there's the finance meeting at the John Lemons Hall.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done.
Front, please. Thank you. Let me share this scripture with you before our offering, before we pray. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, to give not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen.
Reading from this morning comes from Proverbs 12, the 26th verse, and it reads thus: The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. I have a treat for you today, and I would like to share something that I brought with all of you. Would you like that? This is a box of cookie treats and crackers. And so there should be plenty to pass around. So I'm going to open the box. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there's just one bag in here. Wait a minute. This isn't what I thought that I was getting at all. I mean, this is like a fake, right? It's not even the real thing. I'm so disappointed. And I can't even share this with all of you. What? I don't even know what's in this bag. Can you hold this for a minute, Max? Well, have you ever been disappointed by something? Maybe by this box this morning? And maybe you got a new toy and it wasn't really what it was, or it didn't have any batteries in it. Or maybe you were trying something from the clearance section and found out why it was in the clearance section when there wasn't some buttons on it, or the zipper didn't work or something. You learned that it was cheaper. Or maybe, you know, sometimes relationships can be disappointing too with people. It's great to have friendships, and of course we do our best to be kind to people and to demonstrate love, but we're only human, and sometimes relationships can let us down. But there's one important relationship that we have, and that relationship promises to never let us down. And that's our friendship with Jesus. Now, it might seem strange to have him as a friend. I mean, after all, we can't see him, and we can't hold his hand and walk with him. And even though we can talk to him, sometimes he doesn't talk back, at least audibly. But he calls us friends, and he told the disciples that they were not servants but friends, and that they should abide in his love and love one another. Well, now we're his disciples, and Jesus wants us to share his love. Jesus said the best love someone can have is to give up his life for his friends. Now, that might sound a little bit extreme, right? But it's exactly what Jesus did for us. He gave up his life for us. And we can be confident in his love because we know he died for us. Now, sometimes earthly relationships might disappoint us. You know, sometimes they just don't work out the way we hoped, or sometimes people move away or we move away and we kind of lose track with those friendships. But Jesus is never going to leave us, because unlike this package of cookies that wasn't the real thing, Jesus is the real thing. And he's the very best kind of relationship that we can have. You know what else? You're supposed to say no. Okay. Jesus wants us to love one another. And our human attempts at being kind and caring might fail, but we can trust him to work in us and show his love. And Jesus said that if we love him, we'll demonstrate that by staying connected. Now, how do you think we stay connected to him? Well, by sharing his love, and by reading the Bible, and by praying to him. And we can show kindness and courtesy and listen and help others. But we can also let the light of Jesus shine through us. Now, we show that we're connected by reaching out and caring for our earthly relationships. And remember, he is the greatest friend of all. He's the very best example of a relationship that is good. He is our friend, and he's the real thing. So let's thank him with a prayer, okay? If you guys will repeat after me, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. He is the greatest friend we could have. Help us remember your presence and to share our love with those around us. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I do have something for you this morning.
Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, children. Thank you. Thank you all.
Okay.
Well, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
All right, here we go. Let's learn something about the Lord this morning. Amen? Let's learn something about how to live this life and how we can get through all the struggles. And let's learn something this morning about relationships. Now, just a little bit of story growing up about me. My dad used to always tell us, me and my sister, he said, do not hang out. If you're broke, don't hang out with broke people. You know, so I said, you know what? All my friends are broke, you know? But you just hold that thought for a minute, all right? The Lord's going to take us. He's going to take us somewhere this morning about relationships. You see, I'm convinced that our greatest opportunity for spiritual growth doesn't happen when we're by ourselves. But it actually happens when we are in community or in relationship with one another. You know, that's how we grow a connection with God. That's how we can be better in 2024 with better relationships. So our title this morning is Better Relationships. And if you could roll back in your memory from last week, we talked about better priorities. So we're convinced that living a life with Jesus is the best way to live, and when we submit to Him, our lives are better. But last week we looked at the impact God can have in our lives when we started off with better priorities, and when we put God first, the rest of our lives will fall into order. So now, if we happen to get this backwards, then the important things in our life will suffer. So today we're going to discover that the people we surround ourselves with will have far-reaching effects on our lives. And sometimes it's important for us to focus on having better relationships and surrounding ourselves with others who want to be better. So there's a book that's been out for quite a while, and I'm sure every one of you probably had a chance to read it. It's by someone by the name of Dale Carnegie, and he wrote a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Anybody ever heard of that book? Amen. I bet you it's been out a while. How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he gives some basic and effective advice for developing meaningful relationships. The first one, he says, become genuinely interested in other people. You see, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The second one is to smile. That's an easy one, isn't it? If you want to draw others to you, then light your face up with a smile. Here's a big one that I'm guilty of. Remember names. That's a big one. Remember names. You see, one's name is the sweetest, most important sound to a person. And number four, be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. Sometimes when we engage in relationships, the only piece of people we talk about is us, is ourselves. So, look at those five things, and when you have the time, decide which one of those will be most helpful with you in your experience. Now, the truth is that you and I, we were created for relationships. No man is an island. No man stands alone. We were all created for relationship, and we were designed to live our best lives when we do it in the context of community. In other words, we do it together. We are relating to someone. The problem is with that is that sometimes we don't always choose the right people to surround ourselves with. We can do better. And the Bible gives us some very practical wisdom for living in healthy community with one another. And the first one will come from Proverbs 12:26. And this is what the proverb says. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. When I was in the Navy, anytime we went into a foreign port, we could never leave the ship alone. We always had to partner up with somebody. And the one that you tried to partner up one with was the one that perhaps that you had been, you know, you had already developed some type of relationship with. But what the Navy didn't want you to do, it didn't want you to go out there by yourself and get in trouble. I guess they wanted two of us to go out and get in trouble. But you would always try to pick somebody, you know, that was, you know, you hang with somebody that was sane and didn't go out, you know, getting drunk and tearing up bars, you know. So we got to be careful who we surround ourselves with, especially our younger people, because they can make a very, very definite impression on our lives. You see, here's something to remember by. You see, some people, they don't live. You see, God, good relationships are not left to chance. You see, you have to choose whom you're going to hang out with, so to speak. And what you ought to do is follow the Bible's way. It says, the righteous, you choose their friends carefully. So what kind of friends would God want you to choose? But remember this. Righteous look for people who make them better versions of themselves. The righteous seek out people who love God with their whole heart and live it out each day. You see, folks, some people that want to be your friend, they don't always have your best interests in mind. Sometimes they have their own personal agenda. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe they're envious of you. Some people don't live based upon a desire to please God. You see, some people, they don't make us better, but they can make us bitter. And if you don't be careful, if you hang around bitter people, you too will become bitter as well. So the difference between a positive relationship and a negative one can be paired to the difference between graffiti and an art gallery. You see, graffiti is haphazard. It's messy. It's unpredictable. But an art gallery, that's different. Graffiti is chaotic. But an art gallery is curated. It's strategic. They've thought it through. You see, the art behind building relationships can be seen in the same way. If we leave our closest connections to accidental encounters, we can find ourselves being led to places we never wanted to go and becoming people that we never intended to be. Be careful whom you choose. Be careful whom you choose to be your friend and who you spend your time with. You see, when we look at the life of Jesus, we can see that the way to develop better relationship. Jesus certainly, you see, he spent a whole lot of time with people. He spent a lot of time with the crowd, you know. And even though he did this, his focus was instead, if you remember, was on 12 people, 12 disciples. And this he did most of his life with. And even inside those 12, he chose even three for a closer relationship. And those are Peter, James, and John. and where he really invested his time and energy. Jesus did not leave his friend a chance. He chose them wisely. And we should do the same. The only way we can avoid relationship by chance and develop friendship and choice is by looking for characteristics in others that look like Jesus, and that will encourage us to make friends with them. You see, and the Apostle Paul, he writes about this in his letter, because during that time the church at Corinth was going through a struggle, and they were surrounding themselves with people, with the wrong people, and this is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And what he wrote here are some great characteristics of the people that we should be trying to connect ourselves with. First Corinthians chapter 3, 13, verses 4 through 7. This is what he says. He says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Paul is outlining here what true relationship built on the love of God, what that should look like in our lives. You see, I can't help but think to myself that those are the kind of relationships I want in my life. I want to connect with people who are patient and kind. I want to trust people who are not self-seeking or proud, and I want to have friendships that always protects one another and perseveres through very difficult times. You see, being aware of the people that are in our sphere of influence and noticing when someone demonstrates these attributes that Paul talks about may be the best way to develop better relationships in this coming year. You see, a good friend with these characteristics, they make us feel safe. They make us feel loved and supported. And some of the greatest friendships that I've had in my life, greatest ones that I have, I've run into people that have these characteristics. And I thank God for that. And that's something that he wants us to do. Look for those things in people when you want to when you want to have better relationships. And remember this, sometimes those relationships can be born out of adversity and struggle. Here's a story about a relationship between two people, a baseball team. And some of you may remember Jackie Robinson. Anybody here remember who Jackie Robinson is? Amen. Amen. See, Jackie Robinson was the first black athlete to play Major League Baseball. And he broke baseball's color barrier. But doing this, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium that he competed in. But one day while he was playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he made a mistake. He made an error on the field. And all the fans began to ridicule. And he stood at second base humiliated, because the fans just heckled him. And it was at the very height of tension. Things were going to get ugly. This is when he said he felt the most alone. And suddenly, there was someone, a shortstop by the name of Pee Wee Reese. I don't know if you can remember Pee Wee Reese. He was a shortstop, a very good shortstop, long time ago. Pee Wee Reese came over and he stood next to him and he put his arm around Jackie Robinson. And they faced the crowd and the fans grew silent. And Jackie said later that arm around his shoulder probably saved his career. I wonder this morning, do you have someone that could stand beside you and put their arms around you when things are not going well? Do you have someone that will face down the crowd, the jeering and the heckling and all the things that you may have to go through? Do you have someone to put their arms around you so you don't have to do that by yourself. Oh, I tell you this morning, dear one, it's so great to have good friends. Amen? Oh, it's so great to have someone that you could call and tell them everything and not worry about them putting it out on the street or on Facebook. It's so good to have a friend that where you can call them up and say, man, I'm hungry. I don't have nothing to eat. And they don't start fussing at you about how you spend your money. They say, look, you know, I'll give you something to eat. Isn't that awesome? That's great to have friends like that. I trust that we have friends like that. And if you don't, you ought to make a concerted effort in 2024 to get those kinds of friends, you know. But there's one part of this relationship thing that I hadn't talked about yet, and it's probably one of the most important parts you can have to make a better relationship. Here it is. All we want to be friends, every one of you. We want people that somebody that we call and somebody will go through a little bit of a problem. I want that. There's one thing that's everything. What's happening? You have, or you are, that's what I'm looking for. They used to tell me a long time ago, old friends have been a long time ago. You got to play your attitude. I'll talk about it first. You got to show love and you got to be willing to be able to put your arm around. What kind of friend? What kind of friend are you? If somebody calls you up, you see, we've got to live a sober self-assessment and be able to answer honestly. If are we the kind of people God wants us to be? As a question I've just asked you, if you're honest, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend am I? In Romans 12:10, let us look at Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10, and this is a great scripture, and he's the Apostle Paul tells us how we can do this. Romans 12:10, he says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Those are two really tough things to do, but we have to do that. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. You know, what Paul is doing here, he's giving us instructions for individuals to live in meaningful relationships with one another. You see, rather than just expect everybody to do what Ted wants to cater to my need and desires, You got to make a conscious effort to be devoted to one another in love. When I first got married in 1972, we were living in El Paso, Texas. I was stationed in Fort Bliss. Me and my wife, we hadn't been married for 1 month. And I had been hearing all these things from my family. Ted, you got to get your wife to do this. I wish she was here to see this. She'd probably throw something at me. You said, you got to get your wife to do this. You got to be the man. And you got to, I mean, you've got to tell Tessie what to do. Okay, so one day I came home and I had a bunch of fatigues that needed to be ironed. I said, I need those fatigues ironed. And she looked at me. She looked at me like, there's iron and there's an ironing board. You iron them yourself. You know, people are not here just for our beck and call. Amen. You know, we've got to learn that we've got to be a good friend and a good husband and able to respect one another and do the things that helps both of them. Tessa very plainly told me that you iron them clothes yourself if you want them ironed. You see, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. Amen? And that was not the right way. That was not the right way to do things. But you know what? Out of 52, 51 years of marriage, we've learned to love one another. And she puts me in my place, and I try to put her in her place, but usually it ends up the other way around. But you know what? That's the way the Lord made it, and I'm happy. And if it wasn't, at 51 years, so thank God for Tessie Robinson. And y'all make sure y'all tell her when you see her that I spoke good about her, all right? Yeah, you know, spoke good about her. I'm not going to tell her. We were having a conversation about peanut butter cake, and I said, you know what? And she cooked the cake, and I didn't have much. So, you know what, hun? This cake does not taste like Big Mama's cake. And she said, I tell you what, the next time you want cake, you get Big Mama to fix it for you. I'm learning, and you're going to learn too, and perhaps you've already learned. So we've got to learn that those attributes, to have meaningful relationship, we got to learn to put other people first. Amen? When's the last time you had a chance to put someone else over you? To do something for somebody else? You see, we've got to make a conscious effort to be devoted to others in love. And this word for love that Paul uses is the word Philadelphia. And that word, that should sound pretty familiar. This is a city known as the city of brotherly love. Paul is inviting us to love others as brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, there's a deep connection that can be made that makes us a part of God's family. He says that we ought to honor one another above ourselves. And this is the very crux of this passage. Without putting other people first and honor them by the way we treat them, there is no hope of building better relationships that are not somehow one-sided. You got a one-sided relationship. Now, there is a story in an article in the Daily Walk in 1993, a long time ago. Now, it might be a little dated, and it is, but the advice in that particular article is not article. And it was titled, How to Be Miserable. And it says this: the first thing, think about yourself all the time. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Always expect to be appreciated. And be suspicious of everyone. Be jealous and envious. And be ever so sensitive to the little things that people say. And never forget a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself and insist on consideration and respect. And demand that everybody agree with everything that you say. And if some people don't thank you when you do something for them, then just get mad at them. Never forget a service that you render. and shirk your duties if you can. And this is the last one. Do as little as possible for others. Do as little as possible for others. These are how you can be miserable. Nobody wants to be miserable. Amen? That's not what we want. Or you can take the opposite route and be a person focused on others more than yourself. Be the type of friend you want to have. And Jesus put it better, his teaching put it better than anything that I found. And this comes from Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to close with this, with this verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is what Jesus said, telling us how we might live. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, some people call this the golden rule or whatever. But whatever you call it, take those words to heart and live by them. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. As we conclude this morning, once again, Jesus is our greatest example for building better relationships. He was a standard for living a life of humility and service. Oh, we ought to follow him. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he demonstrated, showed us how to love others as well. Don't ever say, Lord, I can't love this person. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it under the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that. You see, he because of his life and death and resurrection, he gave us and showed us that he will be with us. So in this new year, let's make a commitment to surround ourselves with people, you know, who love the Lord, who when you see them, who push you toward Jesus. And you know what else, folks? Pay very close attention to the kinds of fruit that your closest friends demonstrate. But pay even closer to your own fruit to make sure you are the kind of person who would encourage and support people who enter a relationship with you. During this season of Lent that's coming up, this will be a great time to kind of step back, reevaluate yourself, and say, Lord, are my relationships, are my priorities what they ought to be? You know, help me, Lord. Help me to make them to be what you want them to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you know how important relationships are, and you know how much we need each other. Help us this coming year to be the type of people we want to be around. Help us to love others as ourselves and to see others as you see them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
There is a starting point in your relationship. Definitely starting point. But in order for you to have to be able to have a relationship, you have to have a relationship. Parents and all kids can't love me if you don't love me. Amen. So during the invitation, I would invite anyone who needs an invitation. Open the polls for all. We offer the polls to anyone who needs an invitation. Let me pray in front of you. Let's pray.
You stand for our hymn of invitation when we all get to heaven.
Yes.
Have so many people that are absent, so many people that some people that are need praying for. I'm not going to go down the whole list and read each one. You have it right before you. Amen?
Amen.
I pray that you will take that list home with you. Take it home in your prayer room. You pray over that list. Amen. And pray for these people who called in this morning: John Austin, Tom Kincaid, Gene Bixler. Each one of them are going through some things. There's others in our congregation that are going through some sickness as well. We want you to please be in prayer for them. Amen? And for my dear wife, who's not feeling well at all. I'm not sure what she has, but whatever it is, she's got it. So we're praying, but she's doing better. She's doing a whole lot better. We just have to pray and ask the Lord to help us through this. So be in prayer for one another. Please be in prayer for one another. We have so many that are ill. And be in prayer for our coming event in April 20th. This is not going to, it's going to be more than just making our church visible. Amen. It's going to be a chance to make Jesus visible in this neighborhood. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to do and make Jesus visible. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time to come before the throne of grace. But Lord, before we start asking for a whole lot of things, that you already know what we need. I just want to say this morning, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for prompting us, Lord, to do the right thing. Thank you for giving us opportunity for better relationships. Be with those who are sick, on our sick and shut-in list, those that are on our homebound list, those that are just asking for prayer. Please help them and their family this morning. Be with Tom and Eileen, Jean and Elaine, as they struggle with their illnesses. And be with all the others that are struggling with their illnesses as well. Help us, Lord, to always be mindful to pray, and to pray. And Lord, when it's all said and done, and we all get to go home to glory, as we stand before you, Lord, we can gladly hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on in. Enter into your rest. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our benediction. Would you please stand for the benediction? Please stand for the benediction. Would you please raise your right hand, please? There you go. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would dismiss us, Lord. Dismiss us from this place. For we have heard your word and we've heard the instructions on how to make better relationships. We pray that as we go forward into the battlefield, into the world, that you will help us to remember that the enemy will come hard against us. But you told us, don't worry about it. You said, you are with us. And Lord, we're holding you to our word. Now, Lord, go with us and stand with us and be with us and help us to stand with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say, amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way.